Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5-year long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 5 of week number 30, studying Mark chapter 2. As we get started, these reminders. For all of our free materials, just click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org to get started, or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. You will also find that series featured at our Facebook page, facebook.com/International Gospel Hour. To study the Bible by mail, call toll-free 1-855-IGH-6988 for a free 30-lesson series. Or use the contact form at International Gospel Hour to request that series. Let's return to our study of Mark chapter 2. In today's program, we start our overview of the last segment of our 4-part outline of the chapter, Mark 2, verses 23 through 28. Jesus was challenged about Sabbath traditions. All three of the synoptic gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the three accounts that share a similar point of view, all three record this incident. Jesus, traveling with his disciples, went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. In the prior segment, Jesus was asked why his disciples did not fast. Now, in this segment, Jesus was asked, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath? In both fasting practice and Sabbath protocol, Jesus was challenged about the perceived failures of his disciples. Those perceived failures on their part were, more than likely, also indicative of some shortcomings on Jesus' part. They apparently arose from this sort of thinking on the part of those who asked, "What are you teaching your disciples? If they refuse to fast, and if they violate the Sabbath, then you must be teaching them something wrong." That called Jesus' authority into question, and thus Jesus claimed to be God's Son. From the perspective of Jesus' adversaries, his disciples not only failed twice, they failed in two very different ways. First, with regard to fasting, they did not do what they should have done. And then second, with regard to the Sabbath, they did what they should not have done. Those who questioned, those who challenged Jesus about these two matters, were wrong on both counts. We have already addressed the key fasting issues of timing and appropriateness. Let's think through this new challenge, whether or not the disciples violated the Sabbath. In verse 23, the charge, the accusation against Jesus' disciples, and thus against Jesus, was not that they walked through grain fields on the Sabbath. The issue was what they did as they walked. The text tells us that, as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. Verse 24, the Pharisees assumed that the act of plucking the heads of grain on the Sabbath day amounted to a violation of the law of Moses. That's why they said to Jesus, "Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" What was allowed and what was forbidden on the Sabbath was a matter of great importance to the Pharisees. They always intended to carefully interpret and thus protect the Mosaic law. A thorough study of their challenges of Jesus and his disciples about this matter, however, reveals that, rather than carefully interpreting and protecting the law, they created a system of beliefs and practices that were bigger and allegedly better, and thus, in the end, actually violations of that law. Yes, though they accused the disciples of violating the Mosaic law, it was, in fact, their interpretations and their attempted enforcement of the law that was contrary to, and thus, in real violation of the law. We noted in our earlier studies that their traditions, which sprang from their allegedly careful interpretations and their desire to protect the law, actually superseded God's word, and they made God's commandment of no effect. See Matthew 15, verse 6. Their beliefs and behaviors became a greater, a better law of sorts. That denigrated, that belittled God's law and even God himself. As we saw in our studies of Matthew 12, there was no express statement in the Mosaic law that forbade what the disciples did as they walked through the grain fields. Jesus did not explicitly state that, but Jesus' questions and his remarks in this context had the same effect. First, Jesus asked this question, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priests, and also gave some to those who were with him." Mark 2, 25 and 26. Second, Jesus made this statement, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath." And finally, Jesus drew this conclusion, "Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath." Let's think about these three elements as we study this passage in more detail. First, let's consider the question that Jesus asked about David. David, of course, a key figure in Matthew's genealogy of Jesus, was the first in a long line of kings descending through Judah. Judah, the fourth son of Jacob, or Israel, was prophesied to be a leader in Israel as far back as Genesis 49, verse 10, where we read these words, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people." Scepter refers to the right to rule, and Shiloh has usually been understood as finding final fulfillment in Jesus Messiah. David, though the first in the kings descending from Judah, was not the first king in Israel. That distinct honor belonged to Saul, a descendant of Benjamin. But due to a series of failures on Saul's part, chronicled in 1 Samuel chapter 13 through 1 Samuel chapter 15, Saul's sons did not continue to reign in Israel after him. The prophet Samuel was commissioned by God to anoint a new king, and that new king was David. The complicating factor in all of this, David was anointed to be the next king in Israel while Saul was still living and serving as king. That dynamic created a huge amount of tension between David and Saul. It was, in fact, that dynamic that comes into play in this context of Mark chapter 2. Saul, because of the threat of David's growing influence in Israel, attempted to kill or have David killed several times. In the background context to Mark's account, that's 1 Samuel chapter 21, starting in verse 1, David was on the run from Saul, fearful that Saul was still trying to kill him. While David was on the run, he and his men came to the village of Nob. David asked Ahimelech, the priest in Nob, for food, though Ahimelech was curious about why David, allegedly there on business for King Saul, was alone. He nevertheless provided David with bread. The catch? It was not common bread, but holy bread, bread used in the service of worshiping God in the tabernacle. A quick side point, there was no temple in Jerusalem yet. The temple was not built until the time of Solomon. It's assumed, though, that Nob, probably not too far from Jerusalem, was the contemporary site of the tabernacle. The holy bread would have been eaten by the priests. The major point here, that holy bread was not for common consumption. That's key to why Jesus asked his question. So, why did Jesus bring up this situation about David, about holy bread, and the priests in regard to Sabbath law? Jesus asked his question for several reasons. Obviously, Jesus asked the question in order to reply to the Pharisees' challenge. But Jesus also asked to show why the Pharisees were wrong in their charge. They were wrong, in part anyway, because of their inconsistency. Jesus expressly stated that, according to Moses, what David did was not lawful. Yet, it appeared that the Pharisees allowed this exception. What the disciples did was lawful, yet the Pharisees criticized them for doing what was allowed. We know that the disciples did not violate the law because of what Jesus said, as recorded in Matthew's parallel account. Jesus said, "But if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless." That's Matthew 12, verse 7. Take note of what Jesus said in this context. If you had known, you would not have condemned the guiltless. The only ones condemned in this context were the disciples. And the "you" in Jesus' remarks applied to the Pharisees. "You," meaning the Pharisees, "have condemned the guiltless," meaning the disciples. Jesus' point? David was wrong. The disciples were right. But you, the Pharisees, have criticized the disciples, and you have cleared David. Second, Jesus said this, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath." There are religious groups, known as Sabbatarians, because they observe Saturday as the Sabbath, who believe that the Sabbath day was a part of God's rule from the time of creation forward. Scripture, however, speaks of it, the Sabbath, as being made known on Mount Sinai at the time that God gave ordinances and true laws, good statutes and commandments, by the hand of Moses, your servant. Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. Sabbath restrictions under the Mosaic Law started when the law started, and the Mosaic Law started at Mount Sinai. What does it mean, then, that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath? Does it mean that man has the right to determine what Sabbath was all about? Or does it mean something else? Does it mean that certain circumstances or special situations give us the right to violate the law? For example, did David's hunger, his need for food, allow him, with divine sanction and divine blessing, to break the Mosaic Law? In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Mark chapter 2. This reminder as we close, to start our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.